Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And welcome to
Throwback Thursday, my favorite things.
You are so excited today.
I know. It's been a while since we've done one of these.
We just had a marvelous Halloween.
We did.
What did you do? Now, first of
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, we both have something to talk about with this Halloween because the people we're married to are obsessed with Halloween.
So we will be very clear.
Yeah.
For you and I, it is not our favorite holiday.
No, it's not my favorite thing.
What is your favorite?
I enjoy... I don't get me wrong. Sutton, I love Halloween. I love that we watch a horror movie every single day of the week of
October. Every day of the week?
From October 1st through October 31st. How many days hath October 31st?
31 days, yeah.
So obviously, hello, Kevin, 30. So I should tell you that growing up and to this day, I hate horror films. I do not like them.
They're scared.
They are not fun for me. Yeah. I don't mind blood. I don't mind guts. All that stuff is fine. But the boo! I hate it. I hate being scared.
That was
not fun.
Thank you for acting it out,
way. You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
It's not fun. And so, but I'm learning to appreciate it, Rob. I'm learning to appreciate the horror genre film because I've seen pretty much every single one.
So you watch one a night?
One? Yeah.
Multiple a night.
Like if we have, constantly rolling in the background.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. And now I've gotten used to it. And now it's kind of fun. And now I really enjoy it. And I joke, but it's fine.
Did you watch the one that I recommended, House?
Oh yeah. That was a couple nights ago. The Japanese weirdo one.
Right?
It was wacky. And our friend Amy came over to watch it. And the next day Amy was like, my dreams last night were so crazy.
For our listeners, if you don't know, House is a Japanese horror film from the 70s, and it's not even scary.
I would say, there's an asterisk on the horror because it's not really scary.
The horror is who made it. Like, you're sitting there going, what am I watching?
That's the horror. The special effects are very special.
Oh, very special indeed. There's a cat that dances.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's a very bizarre movie.
Yeah, no, that's right up my alley. I love those kind
of
campy weirdo ones. So what about you? What was your month like?
Well, Daniel loves Halloween. My husband loves Halloween.
Yeah.
And we talk all year about what we're going to go as for Halloween.
Oh, what did you? Because we dressed up as well. What did you guys do?
Oh, well, here, I'll tell you. Originally it was going to be Ricky and Fred from
I really
I Love Lucy.
I was hoping you were going to say Sergio Franchi and Joyce DeWitt, but I'm okay, fine, it's fine.
Can't do that every year,
Kevin. I know. It's pace ourselves.
And so we do what we always do, which is we come up with all these brilliant ideas,
yeah.
And then at noon on October 31st...
you look at each other and you're like...
And we go, what do we do?
What are we doing?
So we put on some pair of jeans and a black t-shirt.
Okay.
We painted our face, got some wigs, and we went as glam rock stars.
I hope that we can post a picture of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can definitely see that.
I've not seen that yet, Rob.
We're kind of ashamed. Because we do this every year. Every year we're going to do this, and it's going to be brilliant, and it's going to be big, and we're going to buy
this. Patsy and Adina from Ab Fab.
And that was an idea that
was ours, too. Yeah.
And then we had really horribly offensive ideas that I can't say on air.
Sure,
just
fair.
Like very horrible things.
Yeah.
Horrible, disgusting things. But anyway, so that's what we went as. We went as two glam rock stars.
Gem in the Holograms.
We were Gem in the Holograms.
Truly, truly, truly outrageous.
We were a Kiss.
We were
a Kiss.
We, Sutton's idea.
Light pecking.
Idea was to have a butterfly, which was what she was, and I was the catcher. So it was a butterfly and a butterfly.
I did see a photo of this go by. I thought maybe that's something you do on your off hours.
Just for fun.
Just for fun.
No,
it was for Halloween.
We decided to take it outside as
well. Oh, how sweet. Yeah, congratulations, guys. I wish you nothing but the best. Did you get any candy? Did you go trick-or-treating?
No, but we bought some just to have at the house.
What was your favorite Halloween costume you've ever worn?
Growing up, a good question. That one year that my sister and I, Bryn, we both went in drag. So she went as a male, old man, and I was an old woman.
Oh my gosh, how fun.
So we really like the cross dressing in our household.
Wow. Well, you know what? Thank you so much for sharing all that information. I need to go lay down now. Happy Halloween.
And you're welcome.
Did your parents eat the candy?
Did they what?
Did they eat the candy?
No,
like, they go
did,
through the candy and
they
then
did,
like.
But we had to pour all our candy out onto the on the table, and they inspected it for sure.
Really?
Oh yeah. And I grew up in Elmira, New York. I mean, come on.
Oh,
like,
so you?
I mean, really, guys? Yeah. Like, this, it's gonna be fine.
It's gonna be A-okay.
It's fine.
We don't
worry. We don't lock our doors. Like,
like really?
Oh gosh, no. Oh,
it's like
my
Mayberry.
God. Oh yeah, it was totally like that.
Wow, how safe? Okay. Yeah. Well,
what so about that's... you? What was your favorite?
What a great question. Who I'm trying to think who I went as when. Oh. It was sad. I went I went as a Dick Tracy character.
Oh, which one?
Oh, well, the show, the memorable character of Influence.
Oh, Influence.
Yeah, the villain that everyone goes, who the hell is that?
Yeah, which one was that? I had the toys and everything.
Well, I had the mask. I had I got this really cool leather mask that was like looked like the actor's face.
Wow.
It was really cool. It was a lot of money. My parents spent a lot of money on this. I went Halloween trick-or-treating, and it was very hot, so I took the mask off.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one was just in a suit and tie, and people were like, who are you supposed to be? A businessman?
Oh, Rob.
I got no candy.
You're
it was
sweet.
Sad. It was sad.
I went as church lady once, too.
You went as the church lady?
In high school, and I won, like, a impersonating competition, because I was like, wasn't that special? And
well,
I
isn't
was,
that cool?
And I did, like, my little church lady face, and I love the church lady.
Oh, my gosh.
From SNL.
Well, you should actually do that again for Halloween. I think it'd be wonderful.
You think?
Yeah, isn't this special?
I'll try that next year.
Yeah, well, now, tell us Sutton. Sutton can be... Ooh, another SNL character.
Well, that see that that you I can tell you what year I was in high school because of the characters we were my friends. I went as that. We also had Mary Catherine Gallagher. That was my friend Kaylee went as Mary Catherine.
Oh, and, how fun!
And my friend Ben went as Harry Carey from the SNL Harry Carey, the one who was like,
the one that
what if the moon were made of cheese? Would you eat it?
I love that I character.
Would. Yeah, I know it's appropriate.
It is appropriate.
The World Series is going on right now.
Yes.
So that was Halloween.
That was it. So that was our exciting, fun Halloween. Halloween.
Yeah.
One year I couldn't get candy because they were convinced I was a parent.
Like every year.
This was like, yeah.
You obviously were not wearing the unit that year then because...
This was pre-unit days. Oh, pre-unit days. In fact, my husband.
Are you serious? So some parents.
Oh, I'm not
like,
joking.
We're like, hey, are you the older brother? What?
Yeah,
what's
they
going
were like,
on?
They were like, sorry, we don't give to the parents. And I was like, I'm not a parent.
You're like, I'm in eighth grade.
I'm in eighth grade. I'm a big boy.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. Okay.
My favorite things.
I was going to say, so Kevin, favorite things.
All right. This is can I go first?
Please.
I've got one. I've got my card ready and everything. So this is something I saw. This is a show that is a spectacle musical that I saw about 10 years ago. There is a recording of it. A cast recording. There's a YouTube clip I found that's about 10 minutes long that gives you a sense of with this show. Never made it to Broadway. In fact, as far as I can tell, played North America, but not United States.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Based on a book, or three books, as it were.
Mm.
I know. There is a movie made of it.
Oh, my God.
Three movies, actually.
I don't know.
Now, this is for the sci-fi nerds out there, and I say that with love. Because one of my favorite books that I ever read it three or four times growing up, is Lord of the Rings.
Yeah?
So did you know that there's a musical of Lord of the Rings?
Oh, my God. Yes. I saw it in London.
Yeah, you saw it in London.
I did see it in London.
I saw it in Toronto.
Oh, my gosh.
So for those of you out there who are scratching your head right now wondering, what are you, crazy? A Lord of the Rings musical? How could you condense that entire book into... Well, what was in Toronto a 3-hour and 45-minute musical?
Yes.
For London, they cut it down to 3 hours. I say what you want about the production. Some people said it was a little hokey in part. Some of it, you saw it. And I am such a fan of Lord of the Rings that I went knowing that I wanted to enjoy it. But what I want to talk about is the production, but mostly the music as well.
Mm.
So the music is made by a couple of people. A.R. Rahman is the guy who did a lot of it.
A.R. Rahman?
Yeah, not as in like the noodle, R-A-H-M-A-N.
Oh.
Maybe I'm not pronouncing it correctly.
No, Rahman.
But you might know him from Bombay Dreams, but most people know him because he's a film scorer, an Indian sort of Bollywood, but also crossover.
Okay.
And he writes a really awesome kind of music, funky. He did Slumdog Millionaire. He did a lot of music for that.
Oh my gosh, wow.
And then another guy named Christopher Nightingale. And then this Finnish folk band called Vartina helped out with the music. Now, just go with me. Go with me on this, all right? So the cast recording or the recording of this London production, I find it fascinating music. I it's my kind of music. Yes, yes. Sometimes do you really feel like you shuffled onto that one CD of Enya that you have and you're like, wait a minute, how is Enya playing right now? Is this Lord of the Rings? And it is, because it's just ethereal music.
Sure, sure.
But some of the songs I find very moving. I think it's feel-good music. A lot of it feels like a film score, but it fit the production. The production I saw in Toronto was... It's a $65 million production. Some say it's the most expensive theatrical production ever made. That it was epic.
To see it, it was epic.
Truly. And in Toronto, I had played that theater, the Princess of Wales Theater, I think is where it was. And I had played Les Mis there, and then that was the next show. They gutted the theater. They took everything out. An example of what they did in that theater, if those of you who know the movie or the books, you know that in the middle of the first book, there's a Balrog, which is like this evil, like undead demon that Gandalf has to fight. Yes, we're still talking about musical theater right now. Anyway, so what they did, though, with the set, which was just extravagant, the stage itself was worth $1 million because, as you remember from seeing it, it wasn't just a turntable. There were like three or four turntables. There must have been at least 20 lifts within that turntable.
That was cool to watch.
The technology was ahead of its time, too. It was almost like they were just barely able to do what they wanted to do. But essentially, somebody could be downstage center walking at a normal gait, and the stage would be turning. They'd be going up and down hills because the stage would literally be rising and falling as they're walking, if you could
rising
picture that.
Rising and falling and turning.
And turning. So it literally looks like they're climbing mountains as they're going. And it really was truly, I was so rocked by that. But this Balrog moment, so what they did with the middle of the stage underneath, where the hair room was for Les Mis, underneath that stage, they turned that into a vacuum. And they would fill that room with all this heat so that when the stage opened and the Balrog showed itself, sitting in the audience, we felt fire come at our face. I was completely blown away by it. Was it the most perfect musical ever? No, not even close. But I thought with what they were trying to do was something that was pretty spectacular. Matthew Warchus is the director of it, who did Matilda, and he's in charge of the Old Vic now in London. It was a cast of relative unknowns, except in London it was Laura Michelle Kelly, I believe, who's Mary Poppins, you know, from that. It's epic. If you want an idea of what this show was like, go to YouTube, type in Lord of the Rings musical. You'll see a 9-minute clip where you get a sense of the grandeur of it. The music is lush and beautiful. I felt like they captured what, to me, is the voice of Lord of the Rings, which is sort of, yes, ethereal, but the opening song, The Road Goes On, I think is a toe-tapping opening number. It's a fantastic song. You're looking at me as slightly amused.
No, I think it's wonderful. I had no idea you were so into this.
Yeah, I'll bring my my program because the pictures in it are stunning. In the Toronto production, it was Brent Carver as Gandalf.
Oh my God,
which was interesting.
All I remember about that show when I saw it in London was it was very visually incredible. I mean, that turntable alone was just stunning. And then there's a final epic battle scene.
Yeah.
And I think at that point they had run out of money.
Oh.
And they were like, well, what do we do? And so they just kept projecting a hologram of, I think it was the actor playing Gandalf.
I don't remember that. Wow.
And he would, it was
like, poof, you're going down.
Yeah. And so like a hologram of him would appear and he would do like these weird moves. Yeah. And then somebody would fall and then he would show up, the hologram would show up somewhere else. But it wasn't edited properly. Mm. So it always looked like the actor was just like standing waiting to go. And then he started moving. Yeah. They included that little bit of footage in, and I don't think they were supposed to do that.
Oops.
But it looked like they just ran out of money. And
I don't remember seeing that, so I wonder how much of it changed into London.
It was mesmerizing.
If you want to get a sense of what this show was like, I think the cast album is worth a listen, even though it is not a... To me, yes, there are like 5 or 6 songs that are true, like... plot songs. A lot of it is singing and probably what is probably Finnish, because that's the band is from Finland, which to me sounds a little elven like if
yes
you will.
Absolutely. That's how the Finns always like to be compared.
You're welcome
to fictional elven
Finland.
Creatures, they love that.
Oh God,
are you from Middle Earth
or Finland? I can't tell.
No, I'm Finnish.
Right, my bad.
Sorry.
So yeah, that's my favorite thing for the day.
I love
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Love that.
What's yours?
Mine. Oh my gosh. Actually, mine was inspired by your wife.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Because we just had Halloween. Uh-huh. Your wife posted something on my wall.
Oh, really?
And I was like, well, this is yes. This would have been great for Halloween, but this is giving all of our listeners preparation for Halloween of 2017. So you have to watch this. It is a TV special with my favorite person.
What?
It is the 1976 Paul Lynn
Halloween
special.
Oh, I haven't seen that in years.
Well, thanks to your wife.
Wait, Sutton posted that on your wall?
Yeah, she posted it on my wall.
Well,
so Daniel and I stopped everything.
It on my wall. I want to see that.
She knew. She was like, I don't want to give him any more Halloween stuff. So she sent it in my direction.
When did we watch that?
So my husband and I curled up and we watched it. For those of
so
you who
can't, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. No.
No, I don't. I haven't seen it in years. But come on, tell
okay.
Us.
So this is my, look how my hands are clasped around the mic in excitement.
Rob is like me when I get excited about
just
something.
Just like clutching
edge
this
of
mic.
Your seat, leaning forward,
like, just like clutching my mic. I'm literally going to drop dead of a heart attack any second.
Please.
Okay. We're going to pose for a picture. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, go.
But I hope when you guys look at the photo, look at my clenched fists and look at the wild look in my eyes as I'm talking about how much I love the Paul Lynn Halloween special.
Okay.
Do we have it? Okay,
got
great.
It.
So for those of you who don't know or don't remember, Paul Lynn, who we know from New Faces, but most of all, Mr. McAfee in Bye Bye Birdie. You hear his voice or my horrible attempt at
right.
his voice.
Or Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares, Center Square,
you know, it depends.
Come on.
I'm sure not everyone's like, oh yeah, New Faces in 1952, but some might.
Then who the hell are you?
I know.
Yeah, that's what you should know is
we
New Faces.
We just watched him do his little, like, the
we did yesterday.
From Africa thing.
We did
yeah.
yesterday, which is so brilliant. That's for a whole okay. other show, I think.
So, but his Halloween show.
Okay, so here's what happened.
I just got on the edge of your seat again.
Literally, here we go. Okay, so in 1976, Paul Lynn had a series of failures of sitcom pilots. And people started to realize, well, he's not really good for a sitcom. He's good in, like, small doses. So he still had a contract with the network, and the head of the network, which was ABC, said, you know what? He's so campy, and he's so much like a witch himself. Give him a Halloween special. Oh, Paul Lynn hated Halloween. Paul Lynn had no idea what Halloween was about. So they were like, all right, Paul, you're going to do it. Written by Bruce Valanche.
Oh, my goodness.
The famous Bruce Valanche.
Yes, of course.
Great comedy writer.
Yeah.
And the Paul Lynn Halloween special is got a cast of characters. Listen to the cast. Ready? Not only is it Paul Lynn, it's Margaret Hamilton reprising her role as the Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz.
Which, like, 30 years later.
The great actress Billie Hayes, Tim Conway from The Carol Burnett Show, Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady, Donnie and Marie, Betty White, and in their first appearance on television, Kiss, the band Kiss, worked with Paul Lynn. Paul Lynn and Kiss on the same show. But my favorite is Roz Pinky Truscadero Kelly. That was her name. That's how they billed her.
Yeah.
Roz Pinky Truscadero Kelly, for your Happy Dave fans out there. She was Fonzie's girlfriend.
Oh, right.
But they would unbill her by her name. They wouldn't say Roz Kelly. They would label her as her Happy Days character
that's,
name.
Because she was more famous for that.
Isn't that sad?
Well, that's interesting.
Can you imagine your whole life going around as the thing?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, Fonzie's girlfriend.
Your Fonzie's girlfriend.
That's great. You don't
hey,
even know your
you
name.
Doing?
Yeah.
So anyway, you have to watch this show. I cannot explain what this show is about. I'm going to give you a synopsis. Then you must go and watch the craziness, campiness that is the Paul Lynn Halloween special. So it starts off, Margaret Hamilton, the Wicked Witch, is his maid.
Oh, okay.
She tells him it's Halloween. He goes, I hate Halloween. I hate kids. And then he sings a whole song
no.
that is to the melody of Kids
about how much he dislikes kids. So Margaret Hamilton says, well, you'll come away with me and I'll take you away so no, you don't have trick-or-treaters at your door. So Paul Lynn and Margaret Hamilton go and visit Margaret Hamilton's sister, who is a witch.
The Wicked Witch of the East.
And then you find out that Margaret Hamilton is actually a witch and they're going to keep Paul Lynn trapped.
This is amazing.
Somehow, and I don't know how this happens, they give Paul Lynn three wishes.
Oh.
They're like, you get three wishes.
Okay.
And one of his wishes is like, yeah, like genie. And like, why, you're witches. You're not genies. You're witches. But you just don't, you're so drunk at that point. You just want to keep watching to finish it.
Yeah.
So he plays a trucker in one scene. It's very bizarre. Like he wishes, like, I always wanted to be a trucker. And then he does like a whole trucking scene. He does all these little skits. Apparently none of the wishes was ever to have a good writer. That was not one of the wish, or to have an entertaining evening. That was not one of his wishes. Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady.
Oh, great singer.
Does this? Yes, but she sings That Old Black Magic in a disco version.
Well, that was very popular in the 70s.
Yes,
Liza singing Losing My Mind. Ethel Merman had a whole disco album.
Have you ever seen the Liza Minnelli MTV music video of Losing My Mind?
It was like waka, 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 waka.
No, seriously. There's an MTV music video of Liza Minnelli singing Losing My Mind. You ever seen that? Where she's like crying in a bathtub. You've never seen this?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a whole other topic.
Pause.
But this Black Magic, the way they film it is it's like a close-up on Florence Henderson's face the entire time.
Oh.
And you're like, get away. Get away.
No,
too close.
Very Lawrence
too close,
Welk.
Mrs. Britt. And the one, and two, and three.
I love Lawrence Welk, actually.
I know. That's another one of your favorite things is Lawrence Welk. But the big thing at the end, I don't understand how this happens. At the end, Paul Lynn somehow gets his last wish. Nobody knows what that last wish is. And the entire cast all comes out and sings a song called Disco Baby.
Oh.
And they all do a line dance. And at the end, he just goes, Happy Halloween.
And aren't they all dressed up at the end?
Like, oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But you have not lived till you've seen Tim Conway, Florence Henderson, Paul Lynn, and Billy Barty, the famous little person, all doing a line dance dressed up as witches and ghouls and goblins.
Yeah, no, you're right, actually. You're exactly right, Rob.
I am so exhausted by the brilliance of this. I really need a cigarette.
Wow.
That is the Paul Lynn Halloween special, available in its entirety.
On YouTube.
On YouTube.
Oh, thank you, YouTube, once again.
You have to watch this because it is campy, wonderful goodness.
All right. Done.
So, Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, the musical. Check it out.
And Paul Lynn Halloween special for me. Woo! Oh, I'm exhausted.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.